Hey, hey, kids. Welcome back.
I hated that one.
Yeah, I realised that I haven't been doing very creative ones. It's just been like hey's and hello's, and that's not what the people want.
I think it might be what the people want. No. It's what this person wants.
No. Welcome back to our podcast that we do.
Yeah, my name's Emma.
I'm Sarah.
We are siblings.
Siblings who enjoy telling each other bloody bizarre stories.
Yeah. Last week you heard us talk about the Yuba County fire. Hope that we've got some engagement on that. Tell us what you think happened. And
yeah, I realised after, and this happens a lot, is that the stuff that I meant to include and I didn't include it. So like with the Yuba County fire, there was this whole spiel that I was going to, it doesn't matter, but like I've done it with a few stories where I've been like, oh, if somebody who really knew this topic well was listening, they would probably be like, ugh, she left out that whole part. So
why didn't you put it in your notes?
Well, because sometimes I'll be like, oh, I'll mention that, but I'm not going to write it down. I'll just like quickly mention it. And so I'll do myself a little note, like one word just as a reminder. But then when I'm reading it, I skip.
Well, that seems like an issue.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like an issue with your brain. Yeah.
A stupid, dumb idiot. Is that what you
want to hear? That's what I wanted to hear. Do you have anything you want to say at the beginning? Anyone you want to shout out? Oh, hey, what we need to do to tell people is that we need to, we have a Redbubble store.
Oh, for merch.
For merch. We'll put the link in the description of the Instagram. So you can just go to the Instagram, click on the link, and it'll take you to our Redbubble store.
Yeah, speaking of the Instagram, go and follow us because it's really the only, like, social media.
The one source of truth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really the only social media that gets like updated and stuff.
Yeah. That's regularly monitored.
Yeah. Because I don't know, I'm in my 30s. We're both in our 30s.
Yep.
We don't know what the cool social media is. I guess it's TikTok, but
yeah.
I just know it's not
Facebook.
It's not Facebook. No. It's not Facebook. It's not X or Twitter or Threads.
Yep.
So I guess it's TikTok, but I'm not well versed in that. So I'm going Instagram. So
just follow us on Instagram. Long story short.
Yeah.
Speaking of long story short, new Taylor Swift album out. When this drops, it'll have been out for a week. I hope everyone's listening and enjoying. I certainly am. Okay. Well, if that's all there is, I'm going to get started on today's story. If that's okay with you.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. My sources today: Wikipedia, AtlasObscura.com, Andalusia.org. ABC.es article by Pedro Garcia Guatango.
The flourishes that you put onto Spanish words. Try and convince yourself that you know Spanish.
Shut up. A Guardian.com article by Giles Tremlett. A research article entitled, and this is going to give it away a little bit, The Belmeth Faces, an investigation of a supposedly strong case by Gerhard Mayer. Now, that was a really helpful article. It collated a lot of Spanish language resources into English ones.
Didn't give it away at all. I still don't know what.
But it was heavily biased. You and the listening family are probably well aware at this point that I do like to do true crime cases more than anything else. Mm-hmm. But there is this kind of unspoken rule that I will do other cases as well.
I mean, yeah, like if you find them interesting, do them.
Yeah. And as such, I'm telling you today about an alleged paranormal phenomenon.
Ooh.
From 1970s Spain.
Well, that's cool. Buckle 1970s
up.
Spain.
Yeah. So there's going to be some pronunciations.
Oh, God. Here we go.
For okay. Listeners who aren't aware, I did learn Spanish for over 900 days on Duolingo, and then I lost my streak after 900 days, so I immediately quit.
And after 900 days, you still did not know Spanish.
I would, you know, some would argue that I know some words.
So sorry to any Spanish listeners.
Yeah, Olga. Sorry, Olga.
Yeah.
You might want to skip this one. Perdón. I think that means sorry. It's worth mentioning that the majority of the Spanish population is Catholic, particularly during this period that we're going to be talking about, so during the 1970s. This period is called Francoist Spain. It's also known as the Francoist dictatorship. So this was the period of Spanish history between 1939 and 1975, when Francisco Franco ruled Spain after the Spanish Civil War. After his death in 1975, Spain transitioned into a democracy. And you know, I don't really like history, but I didn't realize that Spain was a dictatorship until so recently.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting.
Yeah. But that's all I'm going to tell you about that.
Okay.
Since the end of the Franco regime in the last 50 years, religiosity has significantly decreased across Spain and secularism has risen sharply. But during the 70s, when this took place, the majority of Spaniards were believers. And in fact, straying from that belief system wasn't really allowed. Just as a side note too, I'm super attracted to the Spanish Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez. Have you seen him? He's fucking hot.
I can't bring his face to mind.
He's a real like feminist. So we're going to the village of Belmev. Specifically, it's if I was pronouncing it like an Australian would, which, you know, I guess he technically I am. Belmez de la Morella de is the place.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be pronounced Belmev de la Morella de.
Okay.
Okay. So this place is in the southern province of Jaén. Again, that would be pronounced Jaén if you were... not Spanish. The town is surrounded by the Carboneras Peak, which has many hiking trails and stunning views. With a population of about 1,800, Belmez de la Moraleda is an old... is an old, quiet, sunny little town. And I did the thing that I like to do where I get on Google Maps and I, like, make my way around the town.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it looks pretty, like, cute and windy and, like, a small, like...
Sounds like a beautiful holiday destination.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, it looks like it. Here's a fun thing. I read in one place that on January 19th, apparently the people of the town go to the mountains to collect bunches of thyme, which grows wild up there. They then leave the bunches of thyme at the doors of their houses and the crossroads and the squares. And in the evening... all these bunches are set on fire, and it's like a joyful night where they sing and dance and play around the bonfires.
Smell beautiful.
It would, yeah. We can add that to the list of places we want to go. One of the people that lived in this town in the year 1971 was then 52-year-old Maria Gomez Camara. Maria lived with her.
You said it normal then.
Yeah, but I'm not being respectful to her if I put my Australian accent on it. Maria lived with her husband and son. husband and son at Calle Real 5. Calle means street.
Yes.
Okay. So one day in August of 1971, Maria was in her kitchen.
This is going to be stupid.
This is going to be so dumb.
Say Maria.
No. Maria was in her kitchen and she noticed a stain on the concrete floor. She thought someone must have dropped something, but she was like, you know, probably just some random stain as you would. Concrete floor, it's probably just like soaked in. But over time, the stain began to develop into an eerie and, in some opinions, disturbing face. Of the supposed face, Maria said, "I saw a stain on the floor that day, but I thought it was my hallucinations because I had a fever and I wasn't feeling well." You're lucky I didn't put a Spanish accent on that. Maria tried to clean and scrub the face stain away, but was unable.
Poor thing, she was sick.
Yeah.
Should have been resting.
Yeah, should have been her fucking husband lifting his finger and doing some shit.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a nice man. Being disturbed by the scary and immovable face, her husband, Juan Pereira, and son, Miguel, used a pickaxe to destroy the concrete with the face and lay new foundation.
Wow.
Yeah, it was that scary.
That scary, and they couldn't get rid of it.
Los Espooky. A week later... the stain reappeared.
On the new foundation.
On the new foundation, a similar spooky face. This was the second of around 1,000 faces that would emerge in the house over the years.
Ew, I hate that. Oh my God.
Today,
photos?
We're talking about the Belmez faces.
I have never heard of this.
Okay, I'm going to show you a picture real quick. And People, if you're not driving, just Google Belmez faces. That's Belmez, B-E-L.
No, go to our Instagram.
Oh yeah, go to our Instagram. But you'll have to upload at on time so that people can get it.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to show you the second face that was developed. And this face is nicknamed La Pava, which means the turkey, because of the way that it looks. Now, get ready for this. It's going to be fucking creepy. Sarah's put her hand to her mouth. She is shocked.
That is so scary. Is there any indication that they painted it?
Sarah, I'm going to get to just stop jumping ahead.
Oh my God, that's so scary. I hate it.
It's La Pava.
The turkey.
The turkey. Okay, so.
You remember when there used to be a wild turkey that walked around the street?
Yeah, yeah, down the bottom of the hill.
No, where I worked.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
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 His name was Stupid. With two O's, the guy told me.
Okay. Following the reemergence of this face and being a small town, word made it to the local mayor. He ordered the new face not be destroyed, but rather it be cut out and preserved behind glass. After the removal of that face, more faces began to develop. During the first year, a new face would emerge about once a month.
In the same spot every time? Ew. Yuck, it's like little like spots popping up all over.
Yep, little like acne faces.
Yeah.
So word quickly spread about these apparently paranormal faces. Maria's house began to be referred to as La Casa de las Caras. That means the house of the faces. Good guess. Usually you'd need 900 days of Spanish to know that, but that's okay. Local and international media got a hold of the story and it completely blew up. This was described in one place as largely sensational mass media coverage. Now, by Easter of the following year, so this is 1972, hundreds of people were flocking to Maria's house to see the faces, and it became a hugely popular tourist attraction. Mm-hmm. At the height of the phenomenon, there were some weekends where close to 10,000 people would visit the town to get a glimpse of a face.
Where did they all stay?
Yeah, right?
They just like sleep now, on...
I do wonder if at some points during this story, things that I've read are just mistranslations.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But I did read, it did say 10,000.
Did you read it in Spanish?
And do my own translations? Look, I could have. I chose not to.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because there's only 1,800 people in the town. But then it was only like, it is only like 2.5 hours from Jaén. So theoretically you could stay in one of those other towns and actually, no, it's closer to Jaén. It's like 2.5 hours from like Seville or somewhere like that.
I guess
that.
It doesn't matter. All of that is to say that a lot of people were coming to the town to see it.
Correct. I read in one place that she did, but in more than one, I've read that Maria did not charge admission.
I mean, you'd be silly not to, really.
Well, so she did accept tips.
Right.
And her husband partnered with a photographer to sell the images for about 15 pesetas. Now, according to Google Translate, Google currency converter, 100 pesetas is one Australian dollar and about 65 US cents. So selling them for 15 pesetas, it's like absolute peanuts. Yeah. Not even an Australian dollar. Yep. But then again, this is like a small town in the 70s. It's probably worth more back then, but still very, very small amount. At one point in 1972, in an attempt to prove the Camara Pereira family were not the creators of the faces, the kitchen floor was sealed under plastic, which was done under the supervision of a number of officials and public onlookers. It's said that during this sealed off period, the faces continued to develop.
Underneath the plastic. Uh-huh.
And new faces joined the cast. The plastic eventually had to be taken off, though, because water began to accumulate between the plastic and the cement, and it was destroying the cement underneath, so they had to remove the plastic.
But they'd proved their point, I guess.
They'd proved a point. Well, they'd shown something. I don't know if the point was proven, but anyway. Here's something interesting, and you're going to hate this. During the investigation of the faces, a 2-metre trench was dug under the concrete. What was revealed was bones from a 13th century graveyard.
Oh, I've got goosebumps.
Quote, "The strange thing was that they found bones but no skulls," said Lorenzo Fernandez.
Oh my God, so the faces were gone.
Yep. So Lorenzo Fernandez is the author of a book called Faces of Belmez, which is a pretty one-sided book in seems, but, you know, whatever. That is a fact that there were bodies found there with no heads. The house was also pretty close to an old graveyard, another one. Furthermore, there are documents at the University of Salamanca on the basis of which it can be shown that a family of five was murdered in Belmez in the 17th century, either in the house or in the immediate vicinity of the house.
This place didn't have a chance to not be haunted.
Often not mentioned, though, in a lot of the articles that I read was that a number of the other houses in the neighborhood were also discovered to have bodies buried underneath them, but did not experience the same face phenomenon.
What's wrong with this place? Why are so many?
Well, it seems like maybe it was the site of like a Spanish Civil War battle.
So there was a
perhaps?
Lot of violence.
A lot of violence, it seems, yeah. One issue that I really came across often in this case was the bias in reporting. So it was really heavy both ways. So skeptics wouldn't report on things that would kind of strengthen the believers' case, and the believers would leave out anything that threw cold water on their theories.
Sorry, baby is here again and again attached to me.
Yeah, if you hear baby noises, it's a baby. Some visitors to La Casa de las Caras even claimed that the faces sometimes materialized, vanished, or changed in front of their eyes. During investigations, police were present to ensure that the research was monitored. Now, I don't know if police are the best scientific monitors, but anyway, maybe that was the thing in the 70s and in this small town as well. Police were also necessary as a means of crowd control.
I was going to say, if that many people are there, yeah.
And actually, a retired member of the Garda Civil, which translates to the Civil Guard, and the Civil Guard is a branch of the police responsible for civil matters, he actually lived opposite Maria's place, so he had a heightened interest too. It seemed to those that bought into the paranormal explanations that these faces were tied to Maria specifically. It seemed that they were linked to Maria's state of health. So when Maria was unwell, the faces were more faint. Yeah, and I'll go on to talk about why people believe that could be the case, but just keep that in mind. For the next 30 years, Maria and her family claimed that faces continued to appear, both male and female, and of different shapes, sizes, and expressions. And in fact, interest and research into the faces continued over the years. In 2004, Maria passed away at the age of 85. A lot of people believed that the faces would cease if, in fact, Maria was painting them somehow, or if they were linked to her paranormally, then, you know, she's gone, they're gone. But in fact, the faces continued after her death, and reportedly, they also appeared in the house Maria was born in for a short period of time after her death.
Oh, what the hell?
I only read that in one place, so I can't verify that, but yeah, I did read that somewhere.
Great for a spooky story.
Absolutely. Debate raged about the source of the various faces that have supposedly magically appeared and disappeared at irregular intervals since 1971, which have been frequently photographed by the local newspapers and curious visitors. Many Belmez residents believe that the faces were not made by human hand. Some paranormal investigators believe that it is a thoughtographic phenomenon, which I'll describe in a second, or the manifestation of dead souls. Skeptical researchers, scientists, I guess, have performed extensive tests on the faces and believe that they are fabrications possibly created as part of a hoax. They believe that the family may have perpetrated the hoax for financial gain.
Do they know how they created them?
They have theories.
Are you going to share them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
At one point, tabloid paper Pueblo published an article with the headline, "De acabo el misterio," and that means the mystery is solved, in which a chemical formula for the production of the faces consisting of syrup, silver chloride, silver, chlorine, and ultraviolet light was described, despite the fact that material analysis did not detect any traces of silver. I'll talk about the chemical analysis shortly, but this alleged solution of the case was rapidly adopted by the international press, and as it later turned out, this article was published in response to pressure from the government, which wanted to get rid of the public response caused by the faces. So they were like, this is getting out of hand. Say that it's a hoax.
My God.
However, in the town, the publication did little to deter interest and investigations continued.
I'd still want to go, even if it was a hoax. I'd be like, it's still like cool and interesting.
Yeah, and the faces are fucking creepy.
Yeah.
So basically, here are the theories presented in the journal article that I read, which we'll explore in a bit more depth. So, and in my opinion, these theories can be pretty much distilled down to two major theories, but this article describes four theories. So they are, one, the religious hypothesis. So that is a religious miracle. This theory was favoured by the local population during the first months, but was never officially supported by the church. The second theory is the conventional hypothesis, so pareidolia as a perception psychological phenomenon, which is where you perceive faces in like accidental patterns of stains, you know, that like...
Yes, yeah. But for them to keep popping up everywhere and everyone to see them.
Yeah, and I'll talk about that pareidolia in a minute.
I mean, that turkey one you showed me, that was a face.
Yeah, that's the thing. Some of them are definitely faces, very obviously faces. I think sometimes with some of the stains, that could be what is going on, that pareidolia, but certainly not with all of them. Yeah. In kind of the branch of the conventional hypothesis is fraudulent production of the faces, obviously. Uh-huh. Hoax, yeah. The third hypothesis presented is the paranormal hypothesis, so a psychodynamic RSPK interpretation with Maria as a focus person. Now, RSPK stands for recurrent spontaneous cytokinesis, which means expression for paranormal physical effects that occur repeatedly over a period of time. And this is where thoughtographic phenomenon comes in, which again, I'll talk about in a minute. But all that is to say, it's something spooky going on. And the last hypothesis is one that they call spiritualist hypothesis. And this is basically Maria serves as a medium. This tier of hypothesis distinguishes between a classical and a new spiritualist theory. So while the first refers to the fact that human remains were found during the excavation in the kitchen and the house is assumed to be built on an old cemetery, the latter proposes that the faces are produced by innocent victims killed during the Civil War in the 30s or even other possible murder victims. So it's like it's either one or the other, they say, but it's a spiritual thing. I think the paranormal, spiritualistic and religious theories can be rolled into one, which is paranormal. And then there's the other theory, which is that, what is it called? They call it the conventional theory. Any thoughts so far?
You have a question.
Okay.
Were they only popping up on the floor or did they come up on the walls and stuff as well?
I think it was just on the floor, on the concrete.
Okay, that's not as gross as what I had in mind. I had it, like, I was thinking they were like popping up all over the walls and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be, imagine like on the mold. Ceiling. Just you wake up in the middle of the night and one's looking down on you.
Yeah.
No, I think it was just the floor.
Okay.
So I earlier mentioned thoughtography, right? Or thoughtographic phenomenon. Also can be called thoughtography, projected thermography, psychic photography, nengraphy, and nensha in Japanese, which is where it's popularized. This is the claimed ability to, quote, burn images from one's mind onto surfaces by parapsychic means. The term thoughtography has been in the English lexicon since 1913, but the more recent term projected thermography is a neologism popularized in the film The Ring. I don't remember that being The Ring.
No, neither do I.
But I don't remember much from The Ring. I thought it was a shit movie.
Well, I watched... Oh, like, because remember they watched that movie and then that's what kills them?
Okay.
Like, if you watch the movie,
I thought it was a girl that came out of the TV.
Yeah, she does at the... Like, spoilers. It's an old movie. If you haven't seen it yet. No, so they watch this movie. And then they...
Yeah, this house is so noisy even when it's not...
So they watch this movie and then they have like a week to live. And then at the end of the week, what happens is like whatever room they're in, like that TV would turn on.
Yeah.
And then the ring girl jumps out and comes and kills them.
Okay. So yeah, not really saying how that's like projected thermography.
Yeah,
there must be something else. I think also it's maybe talking about the original Ring, which is a Japanese film.
Yeah.
Anyway. According to Wikipedia, there have been a few people in recent history that have claimed to be able to execute this phenomenon. However, and this might come as a shock, there is yet to be a proven example of it. Essentially, there is a belief among some that Maria was the medium through which the souls of the dead were able to manifest onto the concrete. And of potential importance, Maria herself claims to be a medium.
Okay. That is... quite important.
Important.
Does she claim that she can do that? Or is she just claiming to be a regular? Was she just claiming to be a regular?
I think
medium?
She just says, like, that she can sense things and, like, sees dead people and shit like mm-hmm. that. I don't know. To add fuel to this theory, allow me to tell you a story about Maria as well. When Maria was just a wee girl, a ninja, if you will, the other girl didn't want to be around her while playing or in school because they heard voices around her. They felt pushes coming out of nowhere, and the dolls near her moved on their own. Maria confessed this to Padre Pilon. He was the founder of the Spanish Parapsychological Investigation Group, Grupo Hepta. I don't know, I guess take it with a grain of salt. Another admission of these strange occurrences surrounding Maria during her childhood comes from a person from Belmeth who said that sometimes school teachers tried to correct some girls' misconduct by threatening to force them to be with Maria as punishment.
Oh, that is so mean.
To Maria.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And the girls immediately rejected that punishment because Maria frightened them so much.
Sorry if you've heard any, like, if there's any heavy breathing or anything, it's not me or Emma, it's the baby.
So the other theory under this banner that we've kind of spoken about is that these faces were those of the dead either under the house or in the surrounding area. Obviously, this town had a number of dead people buried all over the place, so it was potentially a pretty violent place much earlier in history. Why they show on the concrete? I guess because they work through Maria. I'm not sure. Is that... I never really get the through line with these theories where it's like, okay, but if... Yeah, sure. Okay, let's say the dead people. What are they trying to prove by showing them on the concrete?
Yeah, like what's the end game?
To what end? Yeah.
Maybe there is no end game. It's just... Well, I was wondering, I don't know if you know this, but has this happened anywhere else?
In the world?
Yeah.
No.
So this is like a one-off thing that's happened?
As far as I'm aware, because you know how in Wikipedia how it's like at the bottom of the page it's got like, you might also be interested in this. There was no other like faces of wherever. A more recent paranormal theory is that the faces belong to members of Maria's family who were massacred during Spain's Civil War. Now, whether this is true or not, I couldn't determine, not whether the faces were members of her family, but whether her family was massacred during the Civil War, couldn't figure that out. A number of paranormal researchers did attempt to prove that this was a paranormal phenomenon, but consistently were unable to do so. I don't know how you would prove that, to be fair to them.
Yeah.
But on one occasion, a paranormal researcher attempted to capture the development of her face on video, but apparently something went wrong with the recording, so he was unable to produce that video. In fact, some of the most vocal paranormal researchers announced that they would be conducting extensive scientific tests on the area and that they would then produce their findings in peer-reviewed articles. Great. This would never eventuate. Why? Maybe what they found
wasn't that great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As recently as 2014, a TV show working with the owners of the house, so I'm guessing like Maria's son, I think he still owns the house, took samples.
Do they live there?
Did Maria and her...
No, do they now?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think they live there now, okay. But I think they probably still own the place. But yeah, I'm going to talk about it, what it's up to today as well. But yeah, in 2014, this TV show took samples from one of the faces. They concluded that the images, quote, weren't made with paint, end quote. According to scientific knowledge and techniques employed in the analysis, there is no external manipulation or elements in the faces.
So no chemicals or...
According to them, uh-uh. It was then attempted to reproduce similar images through the variety of methods considered valid in previous investigations, including, but not limited to, concrete solvents, hydrochloric acid, and silver nitrate. The person doing this declared failure in his attempt to replicate the faces, concluding his absolute bewilderment.
Okay. And that was when the government was like, oh, just say that they did this?
The government did that way earlier. This was in 2014.
Yeah, but that was what they had told them to say.
Oh, they told them to say it was a mixture of like a bunch of silver things. So yeah. Proponents of the paranormal theory say that Maria and her family would not have attempted such a hoax, particularly when the Franco regime was in power and was the source of such fear for residents. Not only that, but the interest and oversight from the police would have discouraged any continued creations if Maria was the artist. Which I think is a good point.
Because I'm assuming that if it was found that she was faking it, she would have been in quite a lot of trouble.
Yeah. The supporters of these paranormal theories also highlight the chemical analysis that was done on one of the faces. Initially, there were claims that the family must have been painting the faces. A sample was taken, analysed, and this analysis showed that it was not paint. Didn't say what it was, but it said that it wasn't paint. And so that was an earlier analysis. It wasn't the 2014 one.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, it also wasn't a mixture of silver chloride, silver, chlorine, and UV light, as was claimed by that tabloid. This was claimed because that mixture would or could produce an image, but chemical analysis proved this was not what was causing the Belmez faces. So maybe the dead were working through Maria to burn their faces onto the concrete. That's the theory.
Faces that they...
That we cut off. Why? Who knows? Finally, let's end on what one article called the conventional hypothesis. So non-paranormal. There are a couple of angles to this one. So first, I mentioned pareidolia, which is that, as I spoke about, that it's very human phenomenon to look for faces in non-face things.
Yes. I don't buy it in this case, though.
No. I think, as we said, some of the claimed faces were that, but majority of them were legit faces.
They're creepy faces at that.
Yes. Scary, scary faces.
That's the other thing I was going to ask you. What were the expressions? Did they all... Like, were there any angry ones?
Not that I saw. It was all just, like, expressionless. The other side of this theory is that this was a hoax. Maria and her family were somehow creating these faces as a means of making money and publicity. It won't come as a surprise to anyone that this is the theory that I believe in the most. One piece of information that I think adds weight to this theory too is the fact that all the faces look like they're drawn by the same person, like someone that's bad at drawing faces.
It's the art style.
Yeah.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? It's the CERN giant.
Yes. Yeah. An investigative commission was formed to determine what was causing these faces at one point. The commission determined that the faces examined were formed by little other than chemical application. So,
I'm confused though, because certain things are saying, like,
yes.
No, it's not chemicals, and then others are like...
Yes, and then a lot of believers are saying, well, the government lied to us before, maybe they're lying to us now. So... They found, this investigative commission found that the chemicals that were used were ones that could easily be obtained from any drugstore, like cleaning fluids. The commission also reported that, quote, we could even determine the size of the brush hairs of the brush used to paint the faces. Pretty absolute there.
What year was this when they figured this out?
This was later on. I think it was in the 90s. Yeah. They sound like they're tired. They're like, this is such bullshit.
It sounds like they're tired and, like, they've got, like, all of this evidence. And they're like, we can tell you what time of day it was.
Yeah. They're so annoyed. That does seem quite... They seem quite certain.
Damning.
Yes. But the people that oppose this theory say that perhaps some of the faces were hoaxes, but not all of them.
Oh, like, so once it started happening, then Maria jumped on board and was like, hey, I'll just add a couple of extras.
Yeah, because they whenever they do these pieces of research, both sides, there's no, like, scientific method that I could, they're not both testing the same face. They're not, you know, it's
haphazard.
Yeah. So I think this case has suffered from over and under reporting and sensationalism, and then obviously just, like, blind religiosity.
And also the fact that it was the 70s.
Yep.
It's kind of like, if it happened now.
So ultimately, despite pretty extensive research and, in some opinions, obvious origins, the cause of the original Belmeth's faces has not been agreed upon and probably never will. Across the scientific community, the explanation seems to be pretty uniform. There's a belief that a cleaning compound was applied to the concrete, which caused some of the faces. The chemicals could be applied and took a while to develop, which allowed for the concrete to be covered over and seemingly faces still be developing.
Right, when they put the plastic over
it. Or, like, you know, when people said that they saw it develop in front of their eyes. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, there's not one consensus on this one. If you want to visit La Casa de las Caras...
I do.
You still can. It costs €3 to enter... And you can still see a number of the faces that have appeared over the years.
Oh, I really want to go there. I'd love to do a Spain and Portugal trip.
Oh, yeah. That is the story of the Belmeth faces.
I want to see more of the faces.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll...
When we stop recording.
Yeah, when we stop recording, and we'll chuck them up on Instagram and you can see for yourself. And
yeah, go follow us at Bloody Bizarre.
But yeah, what do you think? It is such a coincidence that they found the bodies underneath. Hey?
Yes, I was just about to say, couldn't believe it's so creepy that they found headless bodies underneath the house. Yeah. That is...
I bet Maria painted it and they were like, we're going to dig this up. And then there's bodies there. And she was like, thank fucking God. Yes. Hell yes.
I don't know. This is not one where I'm like, oh, obviously it's fake. I don't know. I would say that is it's a weird one.
Yeah, it's bloody bizarre, isn't it?
Bloody bizarre. Well, she's starting to wake up. But she knows when we're at the end.
It's like Elvis on My Favourite Murder.
Yeah. Okay, nice one. Yep. I love that. That was great. I also have a fun one for you next week.
Awesome.
So a light couple of weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you're really going to like it. It's want to say it's funny because I don't want to make light of the situation.
Yeah, but I bet it's hilarious. I bet it is actually funny.
But it's kind of funny.
It's silly as fuck.
It is a little bit silly. Okay. Right. Well, thank you for listening for another fortnight.
For the meantime, as you've heard, Sarah still has a baby attached to her boob, so...
Oh, I'm sick again, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you couldn't hear.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we will be back regular timing at some point in the future. We will. Okay, so thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.